When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns. Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
I know we're a slightly later recording time than what we promised via text, but you'll never guess who I've just come out of a meeting with, your good old friends, the Referees Association.
Wow. Anybody in particular?
Well, we had Keith Stroud, we had Kevin Friend, we had a good old chat about current issues, about ongoing issues.
Did you fall asleep? Did you manage to keep awake?
Lionel, how do you work that one out? You know, my missus could have played against him.
I've got to be careful.
I'm sorry and all this. That's a load of... You've got to die to get 3 points.
Hello there, everybody. Welcome back to the Die for 3 Points podcast. My name is David Prutton, and the man that's going to lead us through everything he thinks in the world of football, more specifically right now, the World Cup, it's Mr. Neil Warnock. Neil, how are we?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Yeah, really, really enjoying the start of the World Cup, and I've done a couple of shows since I spoke to you last up at Middlesbrough and Scarborough, and they were excellent. I really enjoyed it.
Good, solid northern people, I presume, packing those places out. It sounds like you've had a really good couple of nights there. You've enjoyed every single one, haven't you?
Yeah, some of the old players came as well. You know, I mean, Scarborough, that was 86, 87, you know. But I think they used it as an excuse to have a night out, really. There were about 10 of them turned up. So they had a good night, I think, after. And Middlesbrough was excellent. I really got... I was very, very... it was quite touching, really, David, at Middlesbrough. They... the way that I had standing ovation at the end, it was like it brought airs on me back, and I had to say a few words and almost broke down. It was really nice of them. I really appreciate the Middlesbrough contingent.
It's that emotion once again, isn't it? And it's an emotional time because we are officially in the period of the World Cup. We saw England, 6-0 England, putting 6 past Iran. Where did you watch the game?
As I was at, on a train coming back from Leeds, and unfortunately, they had a problem with the BBC iPlayer.
No way.
They did on the train. I mean, what a time to have a problem. So I actually listened to it on TalkSport, and whilst I got a signal, etc. And then I obviously looked at the highlights at night to see the goals, etc. But I was disappointed in the afternoon that I couldn't pick it up. But, you know, what a great result. And
fantastic.
Just what we needed, really. I mean, we all know we've got a talented... I was so pleased he went with a back four, Dave.
That's what you said the other week, wasn't it? You wanted that.
I mean, the only difference with my team was I would have put Foden in instead of Saka. So just shows you why he's a good manager. Scores 2 goals.
that's the thing as well, though, isn't it? The kind of formation and the selection is one that's debated. And then you talked about the four. Just give us, explain it to a lay person like myself, because I play football. I watch a lot of football now, but I like to be things to be explained to me. So the difference attack-wise of England starting with a four at the back or a three at the back, what does a four give this England side?
The four gives you so much more going forward with a... I mean, I knew he'd play Mount. People said he's not playing well for Chelsea, but he's always done well in England shirt. And he fills that number 10 role behind Harry Kane. He really does it really well. Yes, Maddison might be on form, but I mean, what a good player to bring on if you have to. I know, you know, he's a bit injured, but he's going to come on these next couple of games. So I like Mount there. And the two of them, you know, I mean, the young lad. Dear me, David, what a
Bellingham.
Bellingham. What a player. I mean, I think he's going to be one of the best midfield players in the world, mate. I think he's that good. He's so calm and collective and knows what he's doing. Not just in his runs forward. I mean, his header, yeah, it were a good header, but nobody made it out that it were a fantastic header, really, from his angle. The power he got on it from that angle. I mean, it was far better goal than what they give him credit for, I thought. And then he was almost
kind of played down, wasn't it? Because it was just... Just, I mean, with Bellingham, obviously he started out of Birmingham, made his debut when he was 16, something ridiculous like that. Would you have come across him as Borough Boss?
Yeah, not Borough Boss. Before that, Cardiff, played against him.
Even younger. Yeah.
I mean, when he played against us, I mean, I'm, you know, me, old fogey manager in Championship. And what he did is... We didn't really give him a look in. We were physically on top of him. Mm. And I thought, no chance can he play in the Championship. Not, you know. But he persevered. And I think the Championship brought the best out of him because he realised quickly he had to become a bit more physical to survive. And that's what happened. And take my hat off to him. I've not seen anybody improve. He's taken everything on board. He obviously listens intently. And Gareth, I mean, Gareth's got a group of lads that want to listen and want to learn. And he hasn't got a Ronaldo, has he? He hasn't got a bad egg. You know, he's got a great group. It must be the best job. I know it's horrible, England manager, because you get criticised. But as long as he doesn't read the papers, I mean, the last five games that we've been poor in that Nations League, I'd be the same. Because you can't get up for the Nation League. It's like a pre-season friendly, whereas... You know, Iran, yeah, he had to start on the front foot and all credit to him. You know, the back four, the two goals we conceded just showed a little bit about the weaknesses. But overall, I thought all his decisions were right. And you can't say anything about a 6-2 victory, can you?
Did you just... Picking up on the point you made there with regards to the two goals, I mean, the penalty awarding is farcical, in my opinion, at the very latter stages of the game.
But... incidentally, you said you'd met Kevin Friend and somebody else earlier. Did they comment on the penalty not given? What did they think?
Do you know? It was a very interesting debate, actually, because the way, I mean, they were still not... thoroughly convinced with the decisions that were made during the course of the England game. But because, yes, Harry Maguire is getting wrestled to the ground, but because there's an element of them both at it, that is then looked at in a slightly different manner to a shirt pull at the very end of the game, obviously England on Iran. That's the kind of minutiae, which I'm sure as a manager infuriates you, because everyone looks at the Maguire one going, well, he's literally been wrestled
worse.
To the ground.
Yeah,
and Harry's what, 6'1", 6'2", he's a big bloke, you know what I mean? He showed with a header that he powered off the bar. He doesn't want to get dragged down. He wants to head the ball. He wants to attack the football. So why would he go down if he wasn't getting fouled?
That's, I think it's another one of those things. Another one of them things that VAR people have never played the game, really. I think that's when it comes up. But hopefully it'll do well at the tournament.
There was an incident about 10 minutes into the game, which then led to 15 minutes worth of stoppage time in the first half. We saw the Iranian goalkeeper in a quite sickening clash with one of his own defenders. Now, everything in the last few years, and you'd have seen this, of course, with the changes in the rules and the concussion subs and how that type of injury is managed and decisions are made on that. Everybody watching that, millions and millions of people around the world have looked at that and thought, why hasn't he gone straight off? Why is he being asked if he's okay? What, you know what I mean?
I think what we have to do now is ask why that didn't happen. And I think what we have to do is progress it. We've progressed it over the last few years. We're a lot better now with concussion. But to get better, I think we have to have an independent doctor on the bench, nothing to do with the country or the club, in if it's a Champions League or anything like that. An independent one who goes on, and if he's not 100% sure, get him off. And in this particular case, it wasn't rocket science, was it? This lad should have gone off. You know, I mean, how you can say he's okay. Obviously, they must have thought he might not have a good second choice, but that's irrelevant to concussion. I think it's got to be independent, David, because, you know, managers will put pressure on physios and doctors. You know, he's got to be fit. You know, he's got to be all right. He'll be, you know, he's all right and all this. And I think in concussion, there's too much long-term problems with a bad concussion that the damage could cause.
Shocking problems as well.
Absolutely, yeah. So I think it's going to have to be an independent person, a doctor, that goes on to all head injuries, really, and then makes a decision straight away. If he's not sure, I'd get him off, you know, and you have say 10 minutes, like we've said, get a concussion, you know, and if he isn't concussed and he's okay in 10 minutes, swap him back again. But I think it's got to be independent, Dave. I don't think, you know, managers will put too much influence on the medical staff, really.
They are slightly biased, of course, because you want your best players on the pitch. It did make me think, actually, when I was listening and watching the game, because the point was made by the commentator that in their squad, Iran have got four goalkeepers. And I thought, if Neil Warnock was an international manager, regardless of how many players he could get, there's no way he's putting four goalies in their squad.
I only had one, didn't I? It would be put Jaggy in. I mean, it's funny.
Just give me one goalkeeper and I'm going to fill the bench with wingers and centre forwards. That's all I need.
But in fairness to me, David, there were only three subs then or something like that. There were only two or three subs.
There's a laundry list of them now. There's another team and a half sat on these ginormous benches, isn't there?
I know there is. It makes it so easier for the manager because you don't have to put anybody's nose joint out of place, do you? By leaving them out altogether, everybody's involved. So it is fantastic for the managers to build that spirit up with all the lads, you know, being involved.
And just going off what you said there with regards to making an independent decision, yes, you'd want a medic there to be able to say, look, this is the answer to what the problem is. This is my interpretation. He's got to go. I'm sure, given the teams that you've played with, having watched these live shows, having seen these man mountains that have been your charges on the pitch, there wouldn't have been many that would have actively gone, all right, Gaffer, you're right. You'd have asked, it'd have been that kind of era where you're saying, are you okay? I'm thinking of a Chris Morgan. Yeah. Chris Morgan's not coming off the pitch, is he?
No, he wouldn't have done. And he would have said he was all right, even if he was concussed. And that's the danger that we're going into now. That's why I think it's got to be independent. Because I would expect Chris Morgan, whatever happens with a kick in his head or anything, to want to carry on. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, we know now the damage that can cause. So, you know, I think, you know, the medical people need a bit of help in that. I know it's, you know, it'll be costly, but there's so much money in the game at the moment that there's no reason why they don't get somebody qualified to come on the pitch and make a decision independent of the physios.
Exactly that. And obviously player welfare has got to be absolutely paramount. And I'm sure given how long your career has been, not just as a manager, but playing before that as well, there'll be kind of giant strides made in the right decision, in the right direction, because fundamentally we love the impact, we love the contact in a football game. But as I said, fundamentally, you don't want problems 10, 15, 20 years down the line, which we have seen and seem to become more prevalent.
We have. And I'm very lucky. I know it sounds silly, but I was very lucky to be a brainless winger, a quick brainless winger, may I add. But, you know, I never went, you know, I never, I, if I headed the ball twice in a game, it was a miracle. And if I got, you know, I got the occasional knock on the head, but not much. Whereas, you know, you look at the centre halves and you look at, like you've mentioned, Chris Morgan and some of these others and some of the collisions now. And, you know, we've just got to realise that we don't know the damage that these are causing now. You know, we've seen, you know, my old playing part, I played at Rotherham with Dave Watson, centre-half, who's struggling, you know. And I looked at him, and Penny, his wife, they've coped with it, but Dave Watson, he was my first pick in a five-a-side because when the ball came to him in a gymnasium, he would head it 40 yards. He was just unbelievable. And nobody, you know, nobody thought anything of it then. And in them days, Dave, the balls were a lot heavier. A lot heavier. Held the water a bit more. And Dave Watson used to batter that with his head. So, you know, when I see the problems that's caused Dave and other people around that era, you know, we've got to be careful now with the modern day. You know, we've got to change the what we do with the kids as well. I think that's got to come in. You know, up to 15, there's no reason for him to head a ball. So I think we've got to change all that outlook now because, you know, after all, we're all learning all the time about these head injuries, etc., and heading a ball.
Must be tough there, just to pick you up on that, Neil, and feel free not to go into too much detail. But seeing a former colleague such as Dave in that particular position.
It is tough. I mean, you know, everybody, you try and be nice and he has moments where he knows something, but, you know, he's in his own shell now. And it is sad. And he's not on his own. And I'm not sure that Penny and the people, you know, I mean, Nobby Styles is lad. He's been campaigning for donkey's years. And I'm not sure how much help they get. Everybody seems to fob things off and put it to that department. They pass it to another department. They send it down the line. You know, I think it's a little bit criminal that these people have got to go through that when all they need is a little bit of help.
I'd agree with that. There's certainly enough money in the game, isn't there, across the world to be able to look after those that make it the game that it actually is. And just the last thing to pick you up before you bob off for a break. Neil Warnock, the player. What was Neil Warnock, the player, like, this winger?
I told you, I was a brainless, quick winger. And at Rotherham, the fans, when I was down the right wing and I took the ball on and knocked the ball past it, they used to shout, "Open them gates! Open them gates!" In case I ran out and crossed the road. You know, I wasn't the brightest. But I was one of them that I automatically crossed it. I didn't look up, pick a man out. If it was a good ball, it was a good ball off my boot. But, you know, I got a turn of pace and I could play left and right. So I made 300 and odd games, Dave. So I'm quite pleased with that, really, for a damn average player, you know.
And there you go, dear listener. The basis of which a 40-plus year management career was based on. Anyway, right, we're going to take a very quick break. Then we're going to talk about one of your former Chargers.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to the Die for 3 Points podcast, a little break for hydration. We're ready to roll for part two of this week's chat with myself, David Prutton, and of course, Neil Warnock. And I said before the break, we're going to talk about one of your former Chargers, something that you're very fond of course, Robert Page leading Wales back into the World Cup. They've not been in it since 1958. It was a very, very tough game against the USA. What did you make of it, Neil?
Well, I was in short trousers then, by the way, Dave, before you were born. So I remember the days very well. We were all rushed around a TV in our road. We only had one black and white TV there. And we watched the Welsh game. So I do remember that. But Page has done, I always talk about my players, the defenders, Morgans and all that lot, Jack Hill, 'cause 8 out of 10 every week. never seven, sometimes occasionally a nine. That was Pager. He was Mr. Reliable. And I think that's what he's done with this job. He's kept everybody on the same, you know, taking over in the circumstances that he did. He knew there were nothing broken, nothing to mend. Just bring these lads on and give them the confidence. And that's what he's done. And, you know, I mean, I sent him a text before they went out to Qatar to say, you know, go and enjoy it, son. It's already a fantastic achievement what you've done to get Wales there. You know, you don't realise. And because they're so passionate, the Welsh fans. And he texts me back straight away. And and the same the other day before they played, I just texted him saying, go on and do it, get you back into it, son, you know. Having said that, after about 20 minutes, I wanted to text him, get Kiefer Moore on, please. Have him, please, bro. But I thought he won't have his phone on the bench. So it was funny. Because what had happened is they were taking all the goal kicks short and Hennessy and all them. And because they were closing them down like they were, the Americans, they had to knock it long. And they've got nobody to hold it. You know, Bale's not going to do that. James is not going to do that. Wilson's not going to do that. So it's coming straight back. So they never had any balls. So I thought, wow, he's got to change it at half time. And yep, he knew that. You know, he knew that. So, you know, it's one of those things now. He'll definitely be starting the next game. Because you can't, if teams close you down like that, David, you can't, you've got to have a plan B. If you don't, knock it straight up there. The goalie's got to be not ready to knock it to a wide player, or there must be somebody that can head the ball. Are you with me? And
do you in that sense of when that change was made, Neil? Because we see it more and more often in modern day football, where managers might not even wait till 45 minutes to change a team. If you saw that halfway through that first half, when to all intents and purposes it was one way traffic with the USA. In your head, is there a set time? Do you wait for 45? Do you go for 60 minutes?
The only thing about that, Dave, is you don't really want to embarrass anybody by bringing somebody off in the first half in a World Cup game. I think he did the right thing. I think he must have been talking to all the staff around him and asking them about such a situation. You know, I mean, I knew he'd do it at half. He had to do it at half time. They would have got beaten. They'd have got beaten well if he hadn't done that. But you know, Kiefer Moore, he's another player, Dave. That bloody hell, when I look at him, you know, I could have signed him at Middlesbrough.
When Robert looks back at the game, Rob Page, and do you ever put yourself as a manager thinking, what if? Well, if we'd have started the game with Kiefer, the game might have gone even better for us. We've got a point. We're happy with a draw, but I suppose, If you continually think what if as a manager, you'll never move forward, would you?
No, you have to just forget that now. Gone on and move on to the next game now. You know, their next game's the Iran, isn't it? You know, so straight away they'll be onto that, and he'll play Kiefer against them anyhow. And I think he'll play him against England because you know, England need roughing up. Centre halves is probably the weakness in the English team. So why not put somebody like Kiefer Moore on who's going to rub him up? You know. So,
Kiefer's actively said, hasn't he? He would delight in knocking England out of the World Cup. I think he's actually said those words.
Well, that's typical, isn't it, from a Welshman? You know, what do you expect? You know, I'm like that with Scotland when we play them. So, it's the same, isn't it? You're like, you know, you look after your own, don't you, so to speak?
Exactly. That natural combativeness, but I know what you mean. You spoke about Wales being back at a World Cup, and you spoke about seeing it a long time ago, but it would have taken the hardest of hearts not to be moved by just listening to their national anthem being sung. Is a thing of beauty, isn't it?
I have never heard anything like it. When I went to watch it when I was at Cardiff, and I went to watch Wales versus Australia, and the national anthem before, I've got goose pimples now just thinking about it. And it just puts hairs on your back. Everything in the ground. You've got young kids who could hardly talk, singing away and shit, you know, and mums and dads and grandmas and granddads. It's just amazing. They are so proud of their anthem, and they put so much into it. And by gum, it'll be it'll be a very emotional night, I would imagine, when they play England.
Oh, it's one that we are all very genuinely looking forward to. And given what we've seen from the opening few days, it's, I was about to say it'd be a great 90 minutes worth of football, but given the way that the new FIFA guidelines are being implemented with regards to time wasting, we are seeing some very big numbers getting held up at half-time and at full-time. I mean, you do well to get a game so far that's got less than 10 minutes worth of what you call added time or stoppage time. Where do you stand on that?
Well, there were one or two injuries, like, you know, I think in fairness to them. But it's about time the referees added some time on. Ours haven't got a bloody clue, ours, in our country. They look at this, they go like this when there's a guy, they go down. Then next minute, another one goes down.
Yeah.
Always 10 minutes to go, 15 minutes to go. Or if the team's on top, the one team's bashing them and really having a go, they'll go down to slow it down, to get another one, you know. And then they take a goal kick, all come back to take a short one. And then they look round slowly, nothing on. And then they go on up now. And then they all run up and they kick it. Everything's time wasting. But the referees, all they do is point at the bloody watch. And they never had it on. They never had it on. You very rarely see a game in our country that has more than 4 minutes on. And that, you know, even with three or four subs used, very rarely. So, you know, they are conning referees in our country. But if they get a bit, you know, I think when Howard Webb comes in, one or two things will change me for the better. And I do, honestly. He knows what the game's all about him. It's about time somebody with intelligence come into the Referees Association.
Full disclosure, Neil, when it came to a game that you were managing, if you were 1-0 up, if you were 2-1 up, if you had the lead getting towards the end of this game, would there be any specific message yourself, Kevin Blackwell, Ronnie Jepson might be feeding into the players, to the
we'll be doing exactly generals what I've on the just pitch? Said. We'd be doing exactly what I've just said to you. and we get away with it. And that's how it is. And the other manager...
So you played the game and win at the game?
Yeah, because the other manager, he'll be going off like I would be if I was on the losing end. He'd be having a go at the fourth official and telling him about the time waste. Look at the goalie, get him in the book and all that. He'll take the ball from one side of the goal across to the other side of the goal for a goal kick, you know, and the ref will be going like this. You know, I honestly, having said that, I think there's more problems in our league than time wasted. But it would soon stop it off if they knew there were going to be 7-8 minutes extra time. Yeah. They soon cut it down a bit.
This feels, as we get to this particular stage of each and every podcast, we like to tease people. Don't worry, at some stage, myself and Neil will be sat chatting with the men in the middle that make the decisions, and you will be able to hear absolutely everything that Neil's got to ask.
I'll be like that in a straight jacket. I'll be like that.
And I, for one,
keep me back.
Cannot wait to sit and listen to them. Just to round it off, Neil, what you've seen from England, yes, it's a very small sample size. Are you still happy with them progressing? I think we saw them going pretty deep into the competition, but not necessarily coming away as champions. Have you seen anything that would change your opinion on that so far?
I think that the way they've been positive, I don't think, no disrespect to USA and Wales, but there's no reason for them to go five at the back against these teams, really. So I think they've got to, you know, they've got to, you know, stick at it, let the young lads have their, you know, and Rice is doing a brilliant job, just unsung hero in front. You know, when he goes deep as well, it's almost like playing with a three with Rice. He knows exactly what he's doing. So I hope they beat USA on Sunday now, because it will help Wales. They've got to beat USA to get Wales in that qualification. I want Wales to qualify. So, you know, I hope that England can go and beat USA. But I think the Welsh game will be the most difficult, because it's like playing a Premier League match. But you've seen already, I mean, I tip Argentina to win it, and I'm sure they'll qualify, and they go and lose to Saudi Arabia. I mean, it just, you couldn't write it, could you, really? No, I listened at half-time, David, to that, and the betting come on, you know. And it's 80-1 for Saudi Arabia.
No way.
I thought nobody would put a bean on that. And 80-1 in a two-horse race. It just shows you. It's a fabulous game, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's the great thing as well. Obviously, we've discussed broader issues that we've that are in and around this World Cup. Of course, nobody's in a position where they can't take any notice of that. But you look at the amount of games that are coming thick and fast, and it is very much, if you are a person that enjoys this level of football, I mean, there's plenty of games to keep you occupied. And of course, right here on the Die for 3 Points podcast, we will be giving our opinions over the next few weeks as the games progress. And we hope that England do very well. We also hope, given our, well, my tenuous connection to Rob Page, but your very, very concrete yeah. connection to Rob Page, we wish Wales all the very best. We're going to be back, of course, next week. And in the interim, please like, subscribe, comment. We appreciate all of your feedback. One of them I read was quite pertinent, Neil, saying, can we have less interviewer, more Neil Warnock? So I've consciously tried to make sure that's the case, that we have yeah. as much Neil
that
Warnock.
That was from my missus, wasn't it? Was that from my missus?
Sharon. Yeah. Sharon tweeting from just off camera yeah, from yeah, where I can yeah, see. Yeah.
Shut up, David.
But in that case, Sharon, I've heard you loud and clear. It's been wonderful to have you all aboard once again on the Die for 3 Points podcast. My name's David Prutton. We'll see you next week. Neil, once again, an absolute pleasure.
Cheers, pal.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.